So it says simply become who you are. And then it says be yourself. Everyone else is already taken. And I love it because one of the things I say is you have always been who you are.
Welcome to You Are Buzzworthy.
What is the purpose of every business? That's a common question, but I hear a lot of different answers. And those answers range from introspective points of view to global domination. It might seem shallow, but I think business exists for one purpose: to make money. And even more so, they exist to create profit. I think that's why it's said, if you're not growing, you're dying. And I think to a point, it's true. The question then stands, how do you properly grow a profitable business? It's literally the million-dollar question, isn't it? And if the answer was easy, we would all be millionaires. But it's not an easy answer. It's also not the same answer for everyone. But it still is a question every business owner is trying to answer. So today, we're going to try to skim the surface on this very deep question in order to possibly point you in the right direction. Joining me today is Khalid Portis, who is literally in the business of growth. With nearly 30 years of experience as a master business coach and strategist, she helps business owners expand and build capacity and sustainability. Her company, Red Development Group, won the 2022 Better Business Bureau Torch Award in Texas, and she was named Influencer Digest one of the top 15 coaches in the world. It is Khalid's heart's desire to help business owners realize the full potential of their business, gain their freedom, and implement the steps to generational wealth and legacy. And I am honored that she has taken the time to share some of her wisdom on the show. Oh my gosh, I have Khalid Portis on my show. Welcome to the show, Khalid.
Thank you, Buzz. I'm excited to be here as always.
Oh my gosh. So I see this eye chart behind you. Tell me, just give me 2 seconds on this thing. What is that?
So this thing is amazing. First of all, it reminds me of my perfections and imperfections. So my vision, actually, I can read. If there was a line beyond the bottom line on the eye chart, I could read it. That's how good my eyes really are. But this thing gives me perspective. So it says, simply become who you are. And then it says, be yourself. Everyone else is already taken. And I love it because one of the things I say is you have always been who you are.
That's true, right? Like you can't be anybody else. And though a lot of people try to, right?
Yeah.
It's amazing. Yeah. Oh my gosh. And I think that in business, we see that as well, though, when people like, I want to be that type of business, or I want to be just like, and they do that a lot, you know, and I had an old saying, and I still use it every once in a while, but back in the day, I had a saying that says, mind your business. Mm-hmm. It was a double entendre that basically says, get your nose out of other people's businesses, right? But then also, minding your business keeps your eye on your ball.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're paying attention to other people's businesses, you are not paying attention to yours. You've taken your eye off the ball. And what happens in sports when you take your eye off the ball?
You lose.
you lose, right? You lose control of it. You don't have, and that right there, loss of control, is why a lot of businesses fail, right?
Yes.
And it's, as we heard in my intro, you know, I also feel that if you're not growing, you're dying, right? And I think that a lot of times when we look at like keeping an eye on your business, don't worry about how other people grow and how fast they might be growing because they're on a different journey than you.
Yes.
But I want to bring it back around and say, do you believe, and I mean, as a growth expert, do you believe that if a business is not growing, it's dying?
I think that goes for anything. It doesn't matter what it is. It's a business. It's a plant. It's you as a person. It doesn't matter what it is. If it has life, if it's not growing, it literally is dying. I think one of the things that I love about this eye chart behind me is this be yourself, everyone else is always taken, and simply be who you are. And so when I say you have always been who you are, I mean, like, there are so many people who go, oh my God, I'm such a procrastinator and I need to change it. And I go, no, become more of who you are. You're not a procrastinator. You have to change the words. You're a deep thinker. And it's those deep thinkers that help to really change the world. I have so I own a publishing company as well. I had a client, it took us 20 years to publish his book. And after 20 years.
Did you bill them monthly for the 20 years? I just want to know. Yeah. I'm totally kidding. Go ahead. Sorry.
It took 20 years for him to finish his manuscript is what it was. But what I said to him, and he beat himself up for the whole time about being a procrastinator. And I said, listen, the thing that made your book so amazing are the experiences you went through and that deep thinking process you went through over the 20 years. It would not have been 20 years ago what it is today. It wasn't possible. And so there's these quirks about us that we think are flaws because somebody else told us they were flaws. I am super critical. Let me tell you something. I'm going to criticize. You know why? Because my work is to evaluate, to look at something, criticize something, and make it better. So I always have an opinion. Why? Because that's my gift, right? If that's what I do. I criticize, and then I'm going to give you a suggestion on how to make it better. And if you listen to my advice, I promise you're going to make more money, right?
Love it. But love it.
I've been told my whole life, you're too critical. You always got an opinion. Why are you always asking why? I don't know, because that's my gift and I'm great at it.
That's awesome. No, I get that. My gift is arguing, which people say arguing. I like to consider it debating, but yes. A lot of people think that I should have been a lawyer. I said I probably would have been the judge's worst nightmare.
You're in contempt.
Yeah, like, I would have been probably thrown in jail for multiple attempts of court. I am contemptuous, and I'm okay with that because I would consider myself a deep thinker. I'm a free range thinker. I don't allow the confines of what has been done in the past be the one way to do it. And the reason I think of that now, that's the way I think now, because when I was a kid, my parents really gave me two ways of thinking, right? My mother, I lived on a farm when I was a young child. And so it was live on a farm and raise your meat and grow your vegetables and live off the land, right? My dad was more of a business person. So when they divorced, I moved to the city. And I learned that, hey, you go to college, you get a job, you work for 40 years, and you get a pension, and that was the way it goes, right? At boomers for parents there as an Xer. So for a long time, that's what I thought you had to do to be successful. And it wasn't until right after I got out of the Air Force where I decided I was unhirable. I was like, well, then I better go big. And I started my media company. And over the years, I had to unlearn all of that because even in business, I'm like, well, in business, in the first 3 years, you got to do this and you got to, and it's like all these boxes that I'm jumping through, you know, and the hoops that everybody put up for you to say whether you're not successful. And I literally grew a multi-million-dollar company broke doing just that. And it wasn't just until a couple of years ago that I realized it's like, no, I write all of the rules, not just some of the rules, yeah. All of my rules. They're mine. Yes. Right. And that makes make my business unique in that. So what is the biggest growth inhibitor? Like I'm sure it has to do with mindset, and maybe we can start there, that businesses run into constantly.
It's exactly what you said. It's the mindset of the leadership, not one individual person, but leadership as a whole, because the person at the top could be totally open-minded, driven, all of that, but it's the rest of its leadership group is closed-minded. The culture of a company is going to determine where this company goes. That's the truth. Your people are your greatest asset. You hear us say that all the time, but we're saying that because they impact so much of what you do. And culture doesn't stop at the four walls of your company or organization. Culture is also about the industry in which you're in. I was having a conversation with my niece today, and we were talking about experiences with folks who manage properties, residential properties. And this month, now she lives in Mississippi. I live in Texas. I've lived in Arizona. I've lived in Michigan. I've lived in Georgia. I've lived in Florida. But there is a consistency across all of those states for people who are in property management. And so that is a field's culture, the culture of that particular field and the way that they think. So it's not just barriers from your own mind, but it's barriers about from those who are around you, right? You hear people say all the time, show me your five closest friends, and if they're broke, I know you're broke too. Truth.
So right? What if you don't have any friends? Is that
Well, here's the thing. If you don't have any friends, the likelihood is you are still pretty broke. You're still pretty broke. Okay. And if you're not, you will soon be. Because culturally in this country, which is why one of the reasons why our growth has slowed as much as it has, is there's this idea that I can do it myself. No, your people are your greatest asset. So all of these mindset conditions, all of these boxes that we put ourselves in. One of the things you said about yourself is that you are a debater. Let me tell you something. If I'm hiring a marketing company, I want them going, why did you do that? Why did that happen? Here's a better way. Until somebody convinces them that there is a better way of doing it. I want them questioning. You know why? Because that proves to me that you're going to be effective. You're not sitting and settling. And in so many spaces, there's this sit and settle. These are the rules. This is how we do it. And this is how we'll continue to do it. But we got AI now. Oh, and what happens when and if they block TikTok from the U.S.? What are you going to do? Right? Those same set of rules you used this morning will no longer work this afternoon. So if you're not growing, you are absolutely dying. Not only that, the more you continue to not grow, the less control you have of your own destiny. I don't care if you're a business owner. I don't care if you're an employee. I don't care if you're, I don't care who you are. If you volunteer in your church, the less you're growing, the less valuable you become, and the less control you have of your own destiny.
Oh, I agree with that 100%. People with money, like money is such a funny thing, right? And there's vanity metrics around money. Right? A lot of people think that, oh, your gross income is what defines your success, right? And I know for a fact that is not, it's your profit. It's how much you keep. I've made tens of millions of dollars through my businesses over the years. I'll tell you right now, it wasn't until just a few years ago that I learned how to keep some of that money. And that's how I look at it. And if you are a business owner who's looking to sell someday, the growth that they're going to measure, you're going to measure your valuation at, is not by the gross. It's about the net profit. Mm-hmm. You know, the balance sheet is less, especially if you're a service-based business. I should probably predicate that. You know, if you have a low asset, high cash flow business, that cash flow is what's the most important, because they don't care how much sales you have. They care how efficient you are with those sales. You know, if you're, for me, I wasn't charging enough my first 13 years in business. I was grossly undercharging my business, you know, and it took, and I've worked with some of your folks in the marketing side. And that's one of the things I talk about now is like, are you charging what you're worth? Right. And so sometimes growth is not more clients, right? And it's more about more efficiency with the clients you have.
Yeah.
So how do we break away from that whole sense of, you know, oh, well, I can't ask my clients for any more money, or I can't ask them if it's okay to add more value. How do we break that cycle?
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that I say is, how big do you really want to grow this company, and how much of an impact do you really want to make in the world? Mm-hmm. And when you look at that, if you keep those two things at the forefront, then you make your decisions differently. So I was having a conversation with another business owner and a banker yesterday. Great conversation with this banker. Mm-hmm. The business owner was saying the business is a storefront, mm-hmm. and they actually will rent their space for events and things like that. It's a cigar lounge.
Oh, nice.
And, you know, sometimes it's like, oh, these are my regulars. I'll just let them, you know, have the space. Mm. And my question always comes back to, but what are the goals of the company? And does this get you closer to or further from the goals of the company? And if you're asking yourself that with every decision, one of my favorite books is The Slight Edge. If you have not read it, you have to read The Slight Edge. And the premise of The Slight Edge is everything you do, everything you say, every thought you have, every action you take, everything you do puts you on one of two curves, either the success curve or the failure curve. Mm. And if you're making decisions and you're thinking about what you're thinking about and all of that, and you're going, does this put me on the success curve or the failure curve? You will find yourself with more success, hopefully, if you're making decisions that put you more on that success curve. Well, how do you define the success curve? It's the curve that's going to get you closer to whatever your end goal is. So while we might go, this is my highest paying client, I'm not going to charge them for this month. Or these are my regulars, I'm not going to do XYZ. Are you really doing them a service? Because say a pandemic happens again, because we now know it's possible, and you go away. Did you do your clients a disservice by not being available to serve them anymore? Because had you run the business thinking about the decisions you make and whether or not they're putting on you on the success or failure curve, will allow you to have longevity. It's just like what we eat every day. That French fry, does that put you on a success curve or a failure curve? Some of us, it puts us on a success curve. At some points in your day, a French fry will actually put you on success curve. Sure. Right?
Right.
But sometimes, I don't know, midnight, that French fry is probably going to put you on a failure curve. That's all I'm saying. Right?
Right.
So it's not straightforward. And so we have these ideas, these boxes, and we make it seem like it's a straightforward thing, even to the point of pricing, like increasing your price. So Grant Cardone is one of my coaches.
Okay.
And in a coaching session, we were talking about one of the services that we offer, or we were talking about me speaking, actually, is what we were talking about. And in that, that we were asking about pricing for speaking engagements and things like that. And one of the questions he asks is, how many people are in the room? What's your close rate of the people in the room? Mm. If there's 100 people in the room and you can close 65% of those people in the room, and your average revenue from each individual, say, is $100, now you've got $6,500 that you've made just in sales, because you know you can close 65% of the room.
Hmm.
So is it smart to say no because they don't have a budget to pay their speakers?
Hmm.
Or is it smart to go ahead and get the 6,500? You might be $1,000 off of what your what it costs for you to speak, but you still made 6,500. And then I don't know. 9 times out of 10, if I'm speaking in a room, that room is bigger than 100 people. So there's 500-600 people. So now I'm taking that 6,500 and I'm multiplying it by 5 or 6 times, mm-hmm. because I can close 65% of the room at the average of $100. And then I'm going to say no to the opportunity because they won't pay my speaker fee. That doesn't make sense.
No. So I'm hearing a couple of things here. One is, if we're not billing what we're worth, we can't give what we're worth, because you can't give 100% if you're not able to pay yourself 100%, right? You have to take a shortcut, because you have to pay the bills at the end of the day, right? But then when you're looking at opportunities to grow that for with people you haven't paid you yet, you have to take a look at the opportunities more so than the immediate revenue to be in the room.
Yes, you have to evaluate every single opportunity. Now, in the case of the event space, mm-hmm. we had the conversation and he says, well, this is what this customer does, X, Y, Z. And I, so we were like, oh, yeah, they get to have this space. But mm-hmm. that other customer, no, they have to pay. Because there's no way for you to recoup. There's no benefit. So for my personal life and in my companies, one of the core values that we have is win, win, win. And Buzz, you know this about me. It's always got to be three-way. I have to win. You have to win. Our collective customer base has to win. If not, we're no deal.
No deal.
Because we can figure this out. But if you don't want to, then no deal, right?
Mm-hmm.
It needs to be that when you're looking at, I don't care what the opportunity is, you need to be evaluating the opportunity. So I have an internship for young girls from a leadership academy that I do.
Mm-hmm.
And we brought on an intern not long ago. And she worked a week. And at one point she asked if the internship was paid. I said, no, it's not paid. And then she resigned from the internship. But she didn't evaluate the opportunity. I have a coach who makes $80 million a month that I set up an opportunity for us to have lunch with. I also met the founder of Uggs, who I was also going to set up an opportunity for her to meet with. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. No.
Didn't evaluate the opportunity.
Opportunities are hiding in every single corner. I think that so many people, you know, they put those blinders on thinking, well, this is my direction. Anything outside of that is what is not going to be a good thing for me, versus looking at every single opportunity and then being able to say no. I wonder if maybe that's the problem, is that people like this intern who were told probably in their college years is like, you're now worth XYZ. Yes, you are worth XYZ.
No, this was a high school intern. This was a high school intern.
No. But the value is whatever they think their value is. But they think that if they're not getting paid that immediately, they're not going to get that value, versus delayed gratification, which is another problem with this country right now, is that people don't understand delayed gratification, where it's like, yes, you're worth that per hour. You're going to give Colette 100 hours. And guess what? In one of those hours, they're going to introduce you to an opportunity that will make you millions. That could have millions or hundreds of thousands of dollars. And now your worth is much higher. And so people look at the immediate dollar in front of them and make a decision on that versus the possibilities of now. I would also say that you can only put so many possibilities in front of you. You have to be able to reel in some lines. You know, you ever like see those fishermen that have like multiple poles on the lakeside and they're just waiting for one of them to pop? Well, you can only pay attention to so many poles, right? Because if you have more than two poles going that are flinging around at the same time, they got a fish on them. Guess what? Anything beyond that is lost. Those fish are going to get off those hooks. So be careful how many poles you put in the water. Right.
Yes.
So one last question. How do we understand, or how is there a way that a business owner can evaluate where they're at right now, regardless of where they're in their business journey? They could be a startup, they could be mid, they could be an exit. How can they evaluate their business to understand whether they are on the right track in growth for themselves?
So I've been in this coaching, strategy, planning, all of that space for 30 years. And so probably over the last 20 years, there is a process that I've used to do a basic evaluation of a company, but it is very, very, very good. So they can actually, we packaged it. It's a free download on our website. It's called CEOs Finish Strong. But if you download that, it's a checklist.
Nice.
And that checklist is going to take you step by step through different areas, finance, marketing, people, you know, all of these different areas in your company, and ask you these questions that you need to evaluate. And then at the end, it'll tell you how to score yourself. Walking through something as simple as that, and it takes a little bit of time. I mean, you got to set aside at minimum 2 hours. But if you have a team, you're probably going to do 2 hours over the next 4 or 5 weeks working through this. But if you take the time to just go through this checklist, I promise two things. There's going to be some things that go, oh my God, I didn't even think about it. I don't. But then there's also going to show you where you've been doing really great. We've been really doing really good at this. And nine times out of 10, the things that we are really good at is where we push all of our resources to, when now is the time is to shift the resource. You're really good at this. You've got this down. It's knee jerk now. You don't even have to think about it. So now you need to move some of those resources to an area of opportunity where you can improve, or those blind spots that you're going to identify by going through this checklist. And you're like, oh, that's the reason why this thing hasn't been changing, because we hadn't even thought about or paid attention to, or we weren't even aware of this thing. This checklist I have used with Fortune 50 companies to mom and pop shops. And it does the same thing in every single space. If you only knew the companies I've been able to use this with, and it's no different. Nobody has this whole thing together. Nobody has it together. But knowing where you are is the absolute most important thing. And knowing where you are identifies what you don't have, who you don't have, and how you need to proceed forward in order to get to where you want to get to. And is getting to where you want to get to even possible? And not only is it possible, how long is it going to take me to get there? Because some people go, I want my company to make $2 million by the end of the year. And then they go through this checklist and they go, crap, if we made $2 million by the end of this year, we're really going to be on fire. And that's not going to be a good fire. We're going to be burning the house down because we don't have enough staff. We don't have the processes in place. All of this stuff needs to happen before we can start adding on services and clients and things like that. Let's slow down. Let's plan for that in 2 or 3 years, but let's get our house together first. If you don't know that.
You heard Colette. Be sure you are careful what you wish for in your business. It's better to grow with purpose and be deliberate than erect a house full of cards that will inevitably come crashing down all around you. Trust me, I've lived through it and it isn't fun. So take Colette's advice and focus on building a strong foundation before shooting for the stars. Great things come to those who are deliberate with their journey. And it's all about the journey. So enjoy the ride and worry about the destination when you get there. Make sure you check out the links to Colette's resources in the show notes. While you're there, please be sure to like and subscribe to the show. And until next time, stay buzzworthy.